back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106 if you want to get in touch with the program. Still to come, former State Senator Trip Pittman joins us in the next hour, so stick around for that. But join us on the line now. Always a pleasure to bring on our U.S. Senator, senior U.S. Senator now, Tommy Tuberville. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Jeff. You know, you always have the best lead-in music. Makes you feel better, you know, Jeff, when you get on your show.
I appreciate that. I really do. A little bit of quasi-nostalgia there, but I appreciate those comments.
Yeah.
Let's kick it off here before we get into the super exciting world of politics. Super Bowl matchup. I probably not unexpected. How you feel about it?
I think it's going to be an excellent game. You got two storylines here. You got one of a quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, I recruited when I was at Texas Tech. I've got a great family and a great kid he is. And for him to play with a high ankle sprain in cold weather like that, my goodness. And he's probably 50% and still played pretty well. He just fought through it. Might as well have a broken ankle because it's just as painful, high ankle sprain. And then, of course, on the other side, you got a guy that nobody really gave a chance to be a great addition to the NFL in terms of quarterback, is Jalen Hurts. And my goodness, he's gone in there and proved most people wrong and taking his team all the way to the Super Bowl. And heck, he could even be the MVP of the NFL. So two good storylines there, two quarterbacks that's going to fight it out. You got to have a quarterback that can get the job done in a Super Bowl. And I think both of them are – it's going to be fun to watch it.
But like Jalen Hurts really turned his game around there. Or not that it was bad, but really stepped it up to become kind of an elite quarterback in the NFL, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, the key to that, if you just look at it, you've got Lamar Jackson. You've got other quarterbacks that are mobile like Jalen. And the thing about Jalen, he stayed healthy. He's taken some licks, but he stayed healthy through a long – drawn out season, including the playoffs. And that's a key to a quarterback like Jalen, who a little bit susceptible sometimes to being very accurate on his throws, but he's gotten better. But that's not his forte. His forte is being a threat out of the pocket and then, of course, running the ball. And when you stay, if Lamar Jackson has stayed healthy, I think you've seen the Ravens up much higher in terms of the playoff. Now, whether they won or not, I don't know. But that's kind of, how Jalen has made it to this point. I just hope he continues to stay healthy because, man, I tell you what, he can run the ball and he's carried on what he did in college.
Coach, let's jump into it. First up on my list here, tell me this. The Senate, Schumer's kind of slow walking some things right now, but the guys are staying busy, it looks like. It looks like you want to go after the NIH here, particularly, I think, a lot of people really interested in is this gain-of-function research. Tell us a little bit about your effort there.
Well, first of all, about the Senate, they have nothing to do in the Senate right now. First, we're just getting down to our committees. They're just now being approved. We'll actually vote today to approve committee assignments at lunch today. So we can start committee meetings, starting one tomorrow with Ag Committee with the Farm Bill. The other thing is judicial appointments. That's one of the things that we do here. They have really nobody that's gone through a committee that we have no votes. I mean, we're not doing anything right now. But I think the biggest thing we can do as Republicans is to start to do this oversight of all the bad things that's really affected our country and the taxpayers and the citizens of America. And as you just said, it's the oversight of COVID-19. We've got to get to the answers, to the bottom of some of these things that we don't have answers for right now. And the only way we can do it is have hearings. And so, I've proposed a couple of things and introduced some bills that will create more funding accountability, especially when it comes to the NIH, National Institute of Health, where Dr. Fauci worked. The bill that we've signed on to help push is would require the NIH to create an Office of Inspector General which would monitor all the money that goes into the National Institute of Health. Because right now there's very little oversight, and we've seen the misuse of the funds. Dr. Fauci hadn't been straightforward with us about what he did with all those funds. We got to have oversight to that, Jeff, especially with possibility of more pandemics down the way. You know what they're screaming and yelling. Hopefully we don't have that, but we got to be better prepared next time. So if you look at the NIH, it was awarded 80% of its $45 million budget to 300,000 researchers. And you can't keep up with that. And so we got to have an inspector general that would oversee all that. And the second bill basically would prohibit awarding federal research grants to institutes that conduct gain-of-function research. And we've seen what gain-of-function does, and all that does is add viruses to some of these other viruses that they come up with, and it produces, you know, these COVID problems that we've had. And we've got to have a better understanding of it in terms of who's funding it. We don't just turn people loose and let them do their own thing. And so these two bills are just basically oversight of Dr. Fauci's predecessor. I don't know who it's going to be. I'm on the health committee again, and we'll come up with somebody in the near future. But we got to have better accountability for the American taxpayer to where all this dang money's going.
Coach, something else. With us sending tanks and other armaments to Ukraine, who knows where that will lead. But looking back, military preparedness and, what kind of fighting machine do we have? You look back at Afghanistan, that doesn't lend itself to a whole lot of confidence. You look at here, you and Senator Scott over in Florida there are looking at ways to kind of get to the bottom of really how that withdrawal unfolded. Not exactly probably as planned, one would think.
Yeah, it's a clown show what we did there. You know, I've talked to the commander, become very good friends with him, who was over the CENTCOM command, who was over the Middle East during all that. And it was basically him and three or four other people that made the decision on what to do. And he basically says, let's don't do this. We can't do this at this time. And he's on the ground there. He controls the troops. He controls Bagram Air Force Base. He controls NATO. All the people that the other countries that are in there. And he said, we can't do this. I mean, we're going to get people hurt. We're going to get people killed. And sure enough, we did it. Biden went out of one of his stupors, said, hey, let's go, let's get them out of there. I've told people we're getting out. Instead of doing it the right way, we give up the number one Air Force base in the world that we had billions of dollars in. We got people killed. And now the Taliban has taken back over with ISIS running all over Afghanistan. So this is just something else. Rick Scott, Senator Scott, and I have gotten together and said, let's get more oversight. We are both on the Armed Services Committee. We want answers. Of course, what they've done is they've created such a debacle, not just in our country, this administration, worldwide. You don't have time to follow up on any of this stuff because we have so many problems going on they have created a situation where, it's what moving target do we go after? And so, but we're going to go after the NIH, Dr. Fauci, COVID-19. We're going to go after Afghanistan now that we've got a little bit more time to sit back, because now there's not going to be a lot of bills that's going to be passed through the Senate this the next 2 years, because they know whatever they do funding wise, it's not going to pass the House because we've got control of the House. So we got more oversight time. We've got more time on the floor, and we're going to go after the situations that should have been looked at a year ago, but we just hadn't had time or the people that would give us the opportunity to get on the floor and do this oversight.
Overall, what is your sense of the Pentagon right now? I mean, we've heard a lot about, the over political correctness, the wokeness, a lot of that. Do you think there's some problems there?
Oh, Jeff, we got more problems in our military right now because of the leadership, the wokeness that they're teaching, the CRT, the things that our kids shouldn't be taught. And as I tell in hearings, one of the first things I always tell General Milley, who's Joint Chief of Staff and Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin, guys, you're not here to educate people on social issues. You're here to build a killing machine. We have to protect our country. We have to protect our allies. And that is not their number one agenda for some reason. They want to bring all this woke teaching to our military. And right now we were 20,000 behind last year in recruiting in the Army. First time ever. And why is that? Because these young people growing up looking at it's going, wait a minute, I don't want to go in there to learn all this woke stuff. I don't want to follow up on what they just did in Afghanistan. Are we doing it for the right reasons? It's just amazing, you know, the direction our military has gone. So I talked to the head recruiter yesterday, the general of the Army. We're trying to come up ways to help recruit more. You know, that's all I did for 40 years. And as I told him, you got to have something to sell that the young men and women want in this country. Right now, what you're selling is a society that most of the people in this country don't believe in. And so we got a lot of work to do, Jeff, in the military. And unfortunately, I will tell people this, and everybody needs to understand this. This is the most dangerous time in my lifetime. And I've lived in this country, on this planet, for 68 years. I've never seen us in such turmoil in terms of Middle East now with Israel shooting missiles in Iran, of course, Ukraine and Russia, which is, we are teetering on the brink of World War III. And then you got China over there just laughing, going, what day are we going into Taiwan? And when that happens, it won't just be us. Then you got Japan's going to jump into that. Australia's going to jump into that. And we've got an administration here that's worried about climate. Their number one focus is on this climate hoax that we've got, and everybody worries about our environment. That should be number 25th on the list.
Coach, let's talk about China. You mentioned it, but you've seen the reports. Probably South Dakota, Kristi Noem, the governor up there, really making a big point of this. But China coming in and buying up some of our farmland. There seems to be a trend around the country. Stability is a big part of national security, and the food supply lends itself to stability. You want to kind of put some parameters on foreign countries or foreign entities coming in and buying up this farmland around the country?
Well, it's a no-brainer, Jeff. You know, and I introduced a bill on the floor last year, and we're going to reintroduce it again, called the Farm Act, that combats, you know, foreign influence of U.S. agriculture. And in 12 years, China's gone from 12,000 acres of farmland in our country to over 350,000 acres and growing, by the way. And that's not, and that's just China. That's not Russia, a lot of these other foreign countries. We've got to keep an eye on what we're doing. We've got to understand, you know, food security is national security. We've got to be able to produce in our country what we take and what we eat. And we don't need to outsource that like the Democrats have done and everything else that we're doing. And so, and the other thing in the Farm Act is there's a board committee in this that we have. It's called the Committee on Foreign Investments in the United States, acronym CFIUS. And of course, everybody, you know, I can't stand those. I just like going by the words, but it's a committee that's made up to watch all these things about foreign investment. We don't have anybody from the farming community on that committee. So in this farm bill or farm act, I want to add the Secretary of Agriculture to that committee, where the Secretary of Agriculture can oversee all this farmland that's being sold and the production of producing things in our country to other foreign entities. We have got to protect our national security when it comes to food.
Coach, you've been very, very kind with your time this morning, and you got to get back to matters of importance, but we need to do this again soon.
Yep. Who you got in the Super Bowl? You didn't tell me.
I'm leaning Eagles. They got a more, I don't know, the NFC is just looks a lot tougher to me this season.
But. But a lot of it will depend on Mahomes. If he's healthy now, they don't come any better, but. He's not going to be 100%. So I think the Eagles got a very good defense. They'll get after him. You're exactly right.
Yeah, I think they got a more well-rounded team. Coach, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, God bless.
All right, that was our senior U.S. Senator, Tommy Tuberville. There, 251-343-0106. We have got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe. Lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way. Judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's on.